time for Conversations with MIT Medical, care for the community. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
MIT Medical's Mental Health and Counseling Service offers confidential assistance to the entire MIT community. Whether you're anxious about a personal concern or uneasy about a friend's well-being, services are easily accessible. My guests today are Dr. Ranila Fernandez, she's a staff psychiatrist, and Dr. Evan Waldheader, he's the staff psychologist, both at MIT Mental Health and Counseling. Welcome to the show, doctors. So, Dr. Waldheader, I'm going to start with you. Tell us what types of mental health treatment are provided at MIT Medical.
Sure. So we offer a range of services to the whole MIT community. So everything from individual, group, and couples counseling, psychopharmacology, medication services, urgent care and assessment, as well as a lot of outreach and educational programming for the whole community. So treatment services are free for registered students, and they're generally private and confidential, with the major exception of safety concerns. So meaning if we feel that someone is at imminent risk of harm to themselves or to someone else, then we might need to break that confidentiality to ensure somebody's safety. We're also required to report if we learn of child abuse or neglect to elderly or disabled people. So, but outside of those safety-related issues, treatment services are private. For most students, most services are provided here in-house. We sometimes make referrals off campus for specialty care or for longer term treatment if that seems appropriate. And for MIT employees, we'll provide consultation and then refer people out to providers in the community.
Dr. Fernandez, what are some of the common reasons for visits to mental health and counseling?
It can really vary. People can be seen for academic stress if they're having relationship problems, breakups, sometimes loneliness, family concerns at home. So that's one range. Sometimes things can be more serious when people are experiencing depression or thoughts of suicide, having trouble kind of thinking clearly or focusing on their work, having perceptual disturbances. So it can really vary. There are also times where people can come and talk with us about their sexual orientation or kind of exploring their sexual identity. We encourage people to kind of come to us with, you know, whatever's on their mind or affecting their experience at MIT.
Dr. Waldheader, do you think, even though this is confidential service, do you think there are some myths or, you know, stigmas still today surrounding mental health and getting counseling, getting the help that you need, that some people might even be reticent to come in and get help because they think it's going to give them some sort of a label?
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately, you know, there still is a big stigma associated with mental illness and with seeking mental health treatment. I think it's certainly better than it, you know, was 20, 30 years ago or more, but I think, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. And one of the things that we really try to do is to sort of, you know, go out to the community and make ourselves sort of known and accessible and available to people, and to try to sort of, you know, sort of welcome people into the service so that the barrier to seeking care is as low as possible. But I think a lot of people still are reluctant to reach out, and I think, you know, that they're often worried that if they come in here, it's going to, you know, jeopardize their academic standing or jeopardize their chances of getting a job down the line. And so, you know, I think unfortunately it's a barrier to care that we really try to address and encourage people to seek help.
What does that mean, Dr. Waldheader, that you go out into the community to encourage people that this is something that they can do?
Well, we do this in a number of ways. We, throughout the year, we will sort of go to different academic departments or the different dorms or fraternities and sororities and sort of give presentations about the services that we offer, give presentations about general mental health topics of interest to college students. And, you know, again, really in an effort to normalize that these are concerns shared by a lot of students and to educate people about the types of support that we offer on campus and to encourage people to come in and talk with us.
Dr. Fernandez, as people, you know, college is very stressful, and it not even at test time, but people get very, very stressed out. Do you, when you're speaking with them and helping them, recommend medications? And if so, if they're needed, what kinds of medications are out there to treat stressed out, depressed college students?
Yeah, so I think the question of medication is definitely something that we handle on an individual case-by-case basis. For some students, their problems can be treated with therapy alone. For sometimes when students are having more severe kind of difficulties with their functioning, it can be helpful to add medications to their regimen. Generally, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, medications like Prozac, also known as fluoxetine, citalopram, can be helpful for students when they're having anxiety or kind of mood symptoms, which can often go concurrently with each other. But we usually look at, you know, things like family history, kind of like the severity of illness, if they've had them before, and kind of make those determinations on a case-by-case basis. You know, if there are other things that are happening, like mood problems, which are related to bipolar, then we can use mood stabilizers. Sometimes students may just take a medication known as a benzodiazepine just very briefly for very kind of short-term anxiety or panic symptoms. But there's actually a range of different medications that we can use, and I think we really try to consult with students about what is the most appropriate kind of treatment regimen for them. So I think collaborative decision-making really works the best, because people may have, you know, their own feelings about whether they'd like to or not take medication.
So what's involved, Dr. Waldhetter, in scheduling a first-time appointment? If somebody is feeling a little uncomfortable and they think they really want to come see either one of you, they're a little depressed, they're very stressed out, they're not sure what to do about it, what do they have to do to get that first appointment?
So the most common way to get connected with service here would be to call up our front desk. When the number is on our website at 617-253-2916. And the procedure is that the student would talk to one of the front desk staff and be scheduled for a brief phone triage appointment with a clinician either that day or the next day. During that brief phone call with a clinician, the clinician would try to ask the person sort of what's going on, to get a sense of what their concerns are, and then match them with an appropriate clinician to address those concerns at a time that works best for the individual. And so they'd be scheduled for a one-hour in-person evaluation, usually within a week of their calling up. And at that point, that would be sort of a full one-hour meeting, you know, where the person can meet with a clinician and sort of figure out the most appropriate treatment plan and moving forward.
And what if they need to be seen urgently, like they're having thoughts of suicide or they're feeling extremely depressed?
Sure. So for urgent concerns or emergencies, there are two options, ways to get connected very quickly with a clinician. One option is we have walk-in hours every weekday afternoon, Monday to Friday, between 2 and 4 p.m. So those would be times when clinicians are available to talk. No appointment is needed. You know, people can just walk in and meet with a clinician, and those are first-come, first-served appointments. And, you know, the main purpose of those walk-in visits is sort of a brief consultation, assessment of what's going on, and sort of managing any acute or, you know, sort of imminent crisis or difficulty that somebody is having, and then setting up appropriate steps for follow-up. The other way to get connected with somebody for emergency would be over the phone. So there's a clinician available on call 24/7, including overnights and on the weekends. Again, you can call up the main number for mental health or the main number for MIT Medical, which is 617-253-4481. And you can get connected to a mental health clinician right away as well for any urgent concerns or emergencies.
Dr. Fernandez, what about confidentiality? Is information that they come to you and speak with you, does that go into their medical records?
Yes, we do have medical records, and the medical records are confidential. So as Dr. Wildletter had alluded to earlier in the interview, unless there is a reason to break confidentiality, you know, such as concern that someone's at imminent risk of harming themselves or harming someone else, that medical record remains confidential. Sometimes students would like us to collaborate with others and will give us permission, but in that case, we need to get a release of information to, you know, share any kind of component of their medical record or their care with another party.
And Dr. Waldhedert, I'm going to give you the last word here. Tell patients why they should come to the Mental Health and Counseling Department at MIT Medical should they need some help.
Well, I would say that what I often tell students is that, you know, if you're having difficulties here, that you don't have to struggle with those alone, and that there's a range of services and a range of clinicians here who are here to listen, to help, to and to sort of think through ways to manage. College is a difficult time. MIT is a very stressful place. It's often hard for MIT students, I think, who maybe in the past haven't been used to sort of, you know, struggling or asking for help, to ask for help now. And but, you know, what we try to do is try to say there's nothing wrong with asking for help from time to time. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to listen and support students so that they can thrive and make the most of their experience here.
Thank you so much, doctors. You're listening to Conversations with MIT Medical. For more information, you can go to medweb.mit.edu. That's medweb.mit.edu. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.